The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It was the middle of the night last night when the Lord directed me and changed the course for this morning. I enjoy when He does that because He's got something really good in store for us. Amen. Praise God. He needs to say some things. But let's pray as we get into the Word this morning. Father, we do love You so much. We're so thankful and just so grateful for the life-changing power of the Word of God. Lord, where would we be without the Word? It is a light unto our feet, is a lamp unto our path, Father. It helps us to not stumble and trip up and to fall, to get entangled in things that are not abundant life worthy. And so, Father, we thank You this morning that You're speaking through me, Father, to the people. You're hitting bullseyes in people's hearts. Say something through me, Father, that every single person in here can benefit from. Speak to them on their level. And what I mean by that, Father, is what they're going through in their circumstances. Father, You know what each person's facing. You know each person's questions. You know each person's trials and tribulations. So, Father, I thank You. You're saying things to us to bless us, to help us. And, Lord, we'll make sure to give You the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, get ready. Praise the Lord. I say that because if you're not ready, you won't receive. You won't get what God has for you because the Bible says, blessed are they which show up for church. No. Blessed are they which wore their Sunday best. No. Blessed are they that have a Jesus sticker on their car. No. Blessed are they which play praise and worship music and cry at the sound of the instruments. No. The Bible says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they, who? The hungry ones. They will be satisfied or they will be filled. Well, what's hungering and thirsting after righteousness? The things of God. The Word is one of them. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Word of God has the ability to transform and change your life, set you on a new course. So get ready because that's going to happen today. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Paul writing here to the church at Ephesus, he says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, Jake or Josh, if you'd pull that up in the Amplified. I like what it says in the Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. Now notice this. Taking paths which He prepared. Everybody say He prepared.
He prepared.
The paths which He prepared ahead of time. Now notice the paths that He has prepared ahead of time. That we should walk in them. Walk in what? The paths that He's prepared ahead of time. Living the good life which He... Is there another... Slide, there we go. Prearranged and made ready for us to live. Praise God. He said the paths that He has predestined or planned beforehand that we should, not that we would, because not everybody will, but that we should walk into are the plans that are the good life which He's made prearranged and made ready for us to live. The good life. Well, let me ask you, would you consider lifelong sickness the good life? I wouldn't. Quality of life goes down when you're sick. How do I know I've been sick? Praise God. Would you consider the good life poverty?
No.
What about torment mentally or torment emotionally? No way. No way. The Bible talks about heaven on earth. The Bible talks about the abundant life or the Zoe, the John chapter 10 type 10 life, which is the Zoe, the God kind of life, or one translation says, the life like God enjoys. Well, God's not enjoying depression. God's not enjoying fear and worry and stress and anxiety. God's not enjoying sickness or poverty. He's enjoying the God kind of life, which Jesus came to give to us. But the Bible here says that good life has to be found on the paths that He prepared ahead of time. That means for you to walk in the abundant life or to walk in those paths or those plans that He's prepared, which are good plans and good works, you have to get onto that path.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that means you have to stop doing things your way.
That's right.
and do things His way. Because the good life or the paths or the plans that He has are found in His plan, not outside of His plan. And a lot of Christians are bringing their plans, their purposes, their pursuits, their ideas to God and saying, bless this, Lord. And He's saying, you got it backwards. I've already prearranged and made ready a path for you, a plan for you. And if you'll get on that path, the good life is waiting for you to experience it. When you do things your way, that's when the trouble comes. Now go with me to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Very popular verse. We quote it around here all the time. But it brings it out here. So God's path or God's plan for your life is a good one.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God. He said in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Josh, let's pull that up in the Amplified. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have. He's saying the plans come from me.
That's right.
Amen. I'm telling you. People would be a lot less frustrated in life if they just get on board with God. The money would come, the protection would come, the favor would come, the blessings on their kids would come. A whole lot better if they would do God's plans. He says, I know the plans I have, He says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Praise God. The NIV says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Notice this, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God's not out to get you. He's out to bless you. Praise God. To give you a hope in future. Listen to what the Message Bible says. You can go back to the King James. It says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Praise God. But there's that caveat there. It is found in his path, in His plans. So that means there's going to need to be a shifting or an adjusting from our ways to His ways. So many people endeavor to step out and do things on their own. They get ideas, they get thoughts, you know, they have pros and cons lists. They bounce it off people, they do search on the internet, and they don't seek the all-knowing one who has the answers. We ought to be the most intelligent people group on planet Earth. Why? We have a fortune teller who the Bible says his duty and job is to show us things to come living on the inside of our heart. But we don't take time to seek him. We don't take time to find out what God is saying. We just go out in our own thinking, well, the money looks good, or it seems good, or so-and-so said, or you know, they said this on the news, and we weighed the pros and cons list, and we just go out and run out and do it. But the problem with that is Psalms 127 and verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You can build something in your life, but it won't have staying power. It won't have blessing power if God's not behind it. But if you'll shift your life and get onto God's plans, you can be assured of a hope in your final outcome. You can be assured of plans to prosper you, to give you hope of future and expected outcome. Hallelujah. God's plan is best for your life. I've tried it both ways. I've tried it both ways, and I like this way better. The peace, the joy, the prosperity, the health, the wisdom, the answers, the supernatural help that He gives us is found in that plan. And so many people do it their own way, and they struggle, and they struggle, and they struggle, and they struggle. So I want to help you this morning. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. A lot of people are afraid of God's plan. Why would you be afraid of prosperity? I'm telling you, why would you be afraid of prosperity? People say, oh, if I, you know, the devil will give people's thoughts like this. You know, if I fully sell out to God, I'm going to miss out in this life. That's such a lie from the pit of hell. If I give my heart to Jesus and actually do the word and actually follow through with what God is saying in my heart, what God is saying in the word of God, I'm going to miss out. I'm going to have less. I'm going to struggle. My fun's going to be taken away. No, no, no. Life gets fun when you sell out to Him. Because the Bible says they that try to save their life are going to lose it. But the ones that will lose their life for Him, they find their life. Life got real good and real fun once I gave everything to Jesus. And there was nothing standing between me and Him anymore. And He had the freedom to come in with His supernatural, blessing, loving, compassionate, merciful ability and change every area of my life for the better. The only times He can't do that is when you stay on your path. You see, I always say this, that Jesus is not the SWAT team. When He says, I stand at the door and knock. Well, don't you think that if anybody would want to bust through the door and get in, it would be Jesus, because He knows more than anybody. He's been to hell. He's seen the torment. He's seen the pain. He's seen the affliction. He's seen how horrible it is there. Yet He doesn't barge His way in to take residency in your life, which would mean saving you. He knocks. He knocks. So if it comes to salvation and He's a gentleman and needs an invite, do you think that when you're walking your own way that He's going to handcuff you, tie you up, and pull you onto His plan? No, He's not. God will let you be poor if you want to be poor. God will let you be sick if you want to be sick. God will let you be depressed if you want to be depressed. If you want to do things your way, God will let you do it. Why? He's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. Praise God. So let's find some things out here. People get afraid to do it God's way. I mean, He said, I have the good life ready for you. What's good life? Health, wealth, prosperity, peace, joy, victory. Why are we afraid of that? Where did the devil get so tricky and so full of schemes and got so good at manipulating and lying that he's told people, stay back from God. Stay back from God. Don't dive all the way in. You know, I was the kid always at the swimming parties that everybody would be swimming. They'd be an hour and a half long. And I was the one on the edge just tipping my foot in because it was too cold and I wouldn't jump in. And you know what? I always had the least amount of fun as everybody. It was the kids that just jumped in, got that initial fear over with, and just got to swim around and have fun. And here I was the whole time. Oh, it's cold. Oh, I'm afraid. That's what people do with God. Oh, just stay on the outside. Well, you're missing out. I was the kid that missed out on the parties, and then when I finally did get in the water, I was very afraid as a child. Just a devil oppressed me from when I was younger. I look back and see now. I mean, just tormented. I mean, I'd stay up all night long and just be afraid there would be a fire in my house or somebody would break in or something. I mean, just when I was younger, it was horrible. And that was translated into swimming parties. And then when I finally did get in and then they blew the whistle for it to be over, I was disappointed and felt like I missed out. Sure. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are today. Doesn't matter how many years it took you to get to here, you're all here. And guess what? You all have a tomorrow. And y'all have a next week. And y'all have a life still yet to live. Let's stop missing out on the spiritual pool party. And let's dive in with God and start living the good life, which He prearranged and made ready for us. Our tomorrows can be better than our yesterdays. If you'll get onto His plan, that's what I want to help you with. So Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, already way different than last night, praise God. He said, trust. Everybody say trust.
Trust.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Now notice the end here. It's kind of familiar with what we've been talking about. And He shall direct thy paths. Well, from what we know about Him in Ephesians 2 and verse 10 and what we know about Him in Jeremiah 29, 11, the paths that He wants to direct us on are the prearranged plan that's made ready for us, living the good life, the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you an expected outcome, a final, you know, hope in your life is what he's saying here. Not abandoning you, not harming you. So He says here, I want to direct your paths, but to get to the directing paths part, we have to start at the beginning, which is found in verse 5. Verse 5, He says, trust. The very first step to getting into God's plan for your life, which includes all those blessings, stop doing it your way, is to trust Him. You'll never, ever get on that path that God has for you if you don't trust Him. Trusting is the key to getting on the plan that God has for you. I told you I grew up very fearful. About the time ninth grade hit, a depression set on me out of nowhere. Had a good home life. Was excelled in sports. Back then, girls thought I was cute. At least I thought they did. I mean, they always had one after me, I thought. Maybe that was in my head. That's probably in my head. But what I'm saying is I had friends. I wasn't like, you know, sometimes like, you know, just had a terrible home life and was kind of a loner. Just had a good, but a depression set in where from about the time of ninth grade, every single day up until 2002, which ninth grade would have been 1994, And not 2002, up until about 2000. And let's see, when I got born again was January 10th of 2002. So yeah, so 94, so about 8 years, every single day, all I could think about was taking my life. Every single day it consumed me. I would come home from school and lay in the dark as a teenager and just lay there. And it would consume me. And it was awful. Well, then Jesus came into my vehicle one day when I attempted to take my life in 1996, and attempted to take my life, and he came in and gave me a vision of a neon sign that said eternity on it, as I had a gun in my mouth with the hammer cocked, and that sign flashed on and off with the letters eternity spelled out, capital letter E written in cursive, the rest was in lowercase, and it flashed on and off in front of my face. Now, I don't know if I could have reached up and touched the sign or not. I didn't try, but I knew what God was trying to get to me, that if I would pull the trigger, I would enter into an eternity that I didn't know what was waiting for me. And I had grown up knowing Jesus was real and hell was real. I just didn't know how to get to Jesus or how to avoid hell. And so the fear of going to hell and taking my life, because I had heard about the gospel message. I was responsible. And the fear of that kept me from doing that. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you're here and you're struggling with depression, come see me. I can help you. Amen? Come see me. I can get you free from that, because I stand up here today and tell you I'm free from all that garbage. Praise God. And so anyways, as that happened, that scared the living you-know-what out of me. I wasn't going to do that, but the depression and all the stuff didn't go away. So I turned to other things. I turned to wrong living, turned to addictions and different things, gambling addictions and just promiscuous living and all sorts of things, and tried to fill that void. Well, that happened for 5 years, from about 1997 to about 2002. Well, then I got born again, praise God. And when I got born again, you know, Jesus came on the inside and changed me. I'm so thankful. But I still had the same vices, still had the same depression and stuff, and was still kind of struggling physically, still struggling financially. And here I was around me with Christians living the abundant life. My pastor was living the abundant life. People around me were living the abundant life. And I thought, hey, what gives? Am I like the child in the family that gets picked on? I'm in the family of God just as much as they are. Why aren't I being blessed? Well, see, it had nothing to do with God. It had everything to do with me.
That's right. Amen.
It's had everything to do with me. See, God's already done his part. We need to cooperate. Well, the problem was I was doing things my own way. Praise God. I had 26 jobs in 2 years, 5 colleges in the same amount of time, just different professions, just a roller coaster of a life, just a mess. And I remember driving to the one job that I was actually faithful to once I got born again. It's at the general store in Falconer, New York. And I would get there early in the morning, open it up, get the coffee ready for people. And I was just sick and tired of that job. I mean, here it was, you know, minimum wage. I wasn't making any benefits or anything. And I was still sick all the time, still broke all the time. And I was driving down the road, and I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. What I hope today is that people are sick and tired of being sick and tired of living less than what God has for them. Because until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll just stay in your same rut. You'll stay in the same norm, and you'll live far beneath what God has planned for your life, which is the good life. And so I was driving there. Well, the one thing that kept me from selling out to him, because the Bible says this, it says, they that are willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. So there's qualifications to eating the good of the land. Well, I wasn't willing or obedient. Why? I was not going to give my heart fully to Jesus. I was thankful that he saved me. I used him as my Savior, but I wasn't ready to use him as my Lord. Because I was afraid. There was that fear again. What was I afraid of? That as soon as I said, Lord, I'll do anything for you, I'll sell out to your plan, he'd say, okay, buy your plane ticket to China or Africa. I was convinced that he would send me to be a missionary, and that terrified me. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you can find a bigger homebody on the earth than me. The most foreign place I want to go, and even as soon as I cross the border, I start to get the heebie-jeebies, is Canada. I just want to stay home. Just let me stay home, Lord. Let me stay home. That's why I'm glad he called me the pastor, because a pastor stays put. Amen. Stays with his sheep. Hallelujah. If he changed it, I'll renew my mind. But anyways, and so I was in that truck, sick and tired of being sick and tired, doing it my own way, not living the good life. I'm like, what gives? I'm hearing about this good life. I'm your child, but I'm not living it. You know what? Caleb's good life gets really wrecked and ruined when he doesn't obey me.
Sure.
He has the opportunity. Abby has the opportunity to live the good life in my home, but it gets wrecked real quick when they disobey, when they're dishonorable, when they're mouthy. We don't put up with mouthiness. We don't put up with attitudes. We don't put up with our kids being lazy and not doing anything. Oh, no. My life is too short for them to make it miserable.
That's right. That's good.
In fact, as older he gets, I'm like, my God, do more for me. I mean, go out and do this. Sweep the floor. I mean, I made you. You're not here without me. I'm serious. We teach them to help and do things, you know. But I'll tell you what, that good life prearranged plan of God that he has in my home gets ruined real fast when he doesn't do things right. Same with the family of God. God's got it ready for you, but when you don't do things the right way, don't do things on his path, it's frustrating life. Well, that's the way it was for me. It was frustrating. I was frustrated. So finally, I remember I threw my hands up on the steering wheel. I hit the steering wheel. I said, fine. You know, get an attitude with God like that does anything, right? I said, fine, I'll go to China or Africa. And I yelled it in my truck. I was ticked. I said, this is what's going to take. Fine, I'll go. And I meant it with all my heart. Well, when I did that, it was either the next service or the service after, when I had no direction. Why did I have 26 jobs in 2 years, 5 different colleges? Because I had no direction. I didn't know what to do in my life. I was wandering like an idiot. And so finally, I sell out to God. And right after I sell out to God, I say, Lord, I'll do anything. Put me on your path. I'll do what your path. Your path is the most blessed path for me. I was in a service in Fredonia with my pastor. And during the salvation call, when heads were bowed and eyes were closed, I was just, you know, lost, didn't know what to do with my life. And everybody's heads were bowed and eyes were closed. And I heard audibly in the sanctuary, go to Rhema. Well, when I heard that, I popped my head up and looked around to see who said it. My pastor didn't break stride. He was just kept preaching the salvation message at the end. Nobody else was looking around. And man, I tell you what, the hair on my body was standing up and the chills and the tears started flowing because I said, I heard from heaven. Praise God. But my point is that everything changed for me that time in that vehicle when I decided to shift my life from my plan to his plan. But the only reason that I was able to say, Father, whatever your will is, I'll do it. That's where the good life is. The only reason was because I trusted him fully. That even if he sent me to China or Africa, which was such a fear in my head, that it would be the most blessed adventure I ever had, that he would provide for me more there than he would here, that I'd be more protected there than I would be here. And I trusted him. Well, that was the first step. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Cannot direct your paths onto the prearranged good life until you fully trust him and say, here, my Lord, do it, whatever you want. You know what that looks like? Father, if I'm not in the right profession, I'll go. Father, if I'm not in the right business and I have a business and I have my own mind, I'll change it if you say. I know, sounds scary, doesn't it? But that's where the blessing is. Not saying he would. He never did send me to China or Africa. But that was the fear, but I was willing to go, and I would. I still would. I'll tell you what, one of my biggest consecration moments in the world would be, see, if he said, go start a church in New York City. Oh, Lord Jesus, we would need you to pray hard. Yeah. Oh, I'm not a city boy at all. But I would do it, because that's where the blessing is. Why? I trust my dad. Amen. I trust my dad's voice. That whatever he says to me, no matter how scary it looks, no matter how hard on my flesh it seems, it's only to lead me into better. Which is what? The prearranged, prepared ahead of time, living the good life path that he has for you. All changed in one day in that truck. I'll never forget that day because I trusted my Father and said, whatever, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Go with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. And when he said, go to Rhema, which was in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, he might as well have just said, go to China. If you've ever been there, you might as well have just said, go to Africa. I mean, seriously, it seemed like a foreign land to me. It did. It did. And it was, but I trusted him enough. Didn't have money to go. I mean, the first time I got out there's when I found my apartment, got a job. I had to get a job within a week or I wouldn't have been able to stay. Found a job, just trusted him enough. Praise God. Matthew 7 and verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Excuse me, and the rain descended and the floods came and beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Same rain descended, floods came, winds blew, beat upon the house. But it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see that there. So the definition of a wise person is someone that does what God says. The definition of a fool is somebody that doesn't do what God has said. Now, why am I bringing this verse out? The blessing from God is in the doing of the word. What do I mean by that? If you're on your own path right now, financially doing things your own way, relationship-wise doing things your own way, how you're raising your kids, doing things your own way, in your business, in your life, whatever, in your love walk, you're doing things your own way. Well, the way that the shifting is going to take place to get you off of your path onto his path is he's going to have to speak some things to you. He's going to have to make some adjustments in your heart. Just like when I was on my way to the general store that morning, I was frustrated. And I was crying out to God, Lord, this is not the abundant life. This is not the good life. This is miserable. I'm sick all the time. I'm broke all the time, yet I'm your child. And up from my heart came Isaiah 1 and verse 19, which says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And I knew what he was trying to say to me. He was saying, come here, son, come off of your path onto my path. But the way I'm going to get you off your path onto my plan is I'm going to speak something into your heart. You're going to have to make an adjustment, and it'll start the shifting onto my path. I knew I wasn't willing or obedient. I wasn't willing to go to China or Africa. I don't want to, it's not good to have anything between you and your God. Why? You won't eat the fullness of the good of the land. The good of the land comes from full willingness. Lord, I'll do whatever you want with my money. I'll do whatever you want with my time. I'll do whatever you want. Whatever you want, Father, that's when the good of the land comes. Doesn't mean he's going to ask you to do something crazy. But the willingness and then the obedience to whatever he said is where the good of the land is found. Praise God. So, to be a doer of God's word, when he speaks something to you, you're going to have to be a truster of him. Why is that? Because there's things that God will tell you in private meditation, in private study in the word, through the voice of your pastor under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that will tell you that will not line up in your life. Let me give you an example of one thing that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. The Bible is very clear about what praise and worship looks like. Very clear. God loves it when we lift our hands. God loves it when we speak to him out of our mouth. But a lot of people, myself included, came from backgrounds where, man, you go into church and it's a holy hush in there. You don't say a word. I mean, it's like a funeral service in there. You don't say nothing. Yet down at Rich Stadium there, Ralph Wilson Stadium, the Bills score a touchdown and 80,000 people go berserk and bonkers. Yet when it comes to Jesus saving us from hell, but a football, wah! Jesus. Backwards. So you hear the word, the Bible says lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Are you in it to bless him or are you in it to bless you? He says to bring a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips. So we preach that, and then people's lives might not look like that. Mine didn't. It pretty much just freaked me out when I heard that. I said, oh my Lord, I've entered into the granola section of the grocery store. The fruity, the flaky, and the nutty. That's what I thought. People raising their hands and shouting to God just didn't make sense until I renewed my mind to the word. But that's an example of a word coming to people about what blesses God, what will be good for you in your life. There's power in praise. And people will say, okay, it's uncomfortable to my flesh. Now you have a choice. You're at the crossroads. Do you want to fully get on his path or place? Oh, that's just praise. No, that's the point. If you can't obey him in the little things, how do you think he's ever going to speak to you in the life-changing things that could alter your whole family, that could alter your whole business, alter your whole financial life, if he can't even get you to stick and raise your hand in a church and praise him?
That's right. Amen.
But we get that word from heaven in our hearts, and we have a choice. His path, my path. His path, my path. It's the same with money. It's the same with money. He tells people, bring the tithes into the storehouse. Bring them. Didn't suggest it. He said, bring them. Bring them into the storehouse. He said, and prove me now. He says, if you'll do it, I'll open the windows of heaven and bless you. So now you have a choice. You're on your path, his path. Yours, his. Yours, his. Which one are you going to do? Well, the word comes to you. Jesus said, they that are wise will hear the word and do it. Why? Because the doing of the word lines you up for the prearranged good life, the prospering, the not to harm you plans. It's when you do things your own way that you struggle. So he says, do this with your money. Be a giver. Be generous. And oh, man. So now it comes across our plate. Man, we're responsible now. What are we going to do? We think, oh, that's uncomfortable. I could never do that. You know, you hear the pastor say tithe, and instantly people think, oh my gosh, 10%, how could I, how could I, how could I? How could you not with what he promised you? You know what it comes down to? You don't trust him. You don't believe that he really will do what he said he would do. Because if you believed it, you'd never not tithe. If you believe that by giving, the windows of heaven would open up and that you'd get abundance back, you would never not do it, but you don't believe him. Oh, man, that hurts, Pastor, but it hurts so good. You're helping us, Pastor. Go ahead, say it. You're helping us, Pastor. Yeah, because I am, praise God. You just don't trust him enough. You just don't trust him enough. You trust the devil and the lies that he's telling you more than what God's saying. Devil's telling you, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. Oh, that guy's trying to take your money, that guy's trying to take your money. That's why we stick to the Word. The Word keeps us safe from people trying to take our money. From people trying to get us to drink the Kool-Aid, the Word is our safety net. There's nothing that comes out of my mouth from back here that's not Word of God. Yeah, we stick with the Bible. It's our safety net. How do I know you're not trying to manipulate me? Because the stinking Bible says, bring a tithe and you'll be blessed. That's how you know. Praise God, you just don't trust him. Who doesn't want the windows of heaven open up so abundance comes? Everybody wants it. Then why won't you do what it says to get it? Because right. You don't trust him.
Yeah. Good word.
You don't trust him. What about when things come like where the Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, you'll have what you say. In verse 24, it says you'll have what you pray. But in verse 25, it says your faith won't work if you don't forgive people.
Yeah.
For anything, if you have aught, anything against anyone, the Bible says forgive. And people hear that and say, oh, who are you to tell me? You don't know what they've done to me. I don't have to. All I have to know is the Bible said forgive them.
That's right. Amen.
For anything. Doesn't mean we're not compassionate for things that people have gone through or trying to help people get through things. But you need to forgive or your faith won't work.
Right.
But the word comes. No. Arrogant little gray-headed guy. He's telling me to forgive. He's telling me. How can he? I didn't. Jesus did. Stop saying. How can he say that? I did it. Jesus did. You're going to stand before him, not me. I'm just saving you the trouble of getting there and having him say to you, why didn't you listen to me? Oh, he's trying to take my money. I didn't say it. He did. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. How can he? Blah, 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 blah. Keep living below. Let's go real quick to Genesis chapter 12. You know, the devil's bold, so I'm going to be bold. The devil's bold to lie to you, to tell you bad things about me. The devil's bold to tell you bad things about your money, that you shouldn't do the word. He's bold to tell you don't forgive. You don't have to forgive, not for what they did for you. Yeah, that's keeping your faith hindered. Absolutely. Your love walks absolutely in the toilet, which means your faith's with it. Yeah, the Bible says faith works by love. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Now what I said is to get on God's path, the shifting is going to have to be done by the obedience of his word. Because when you're off the path, he's going to tell you something. He's going to speak in your heart, through your pastor, through the word, through studying in the word, through the Holy Ghost. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, who changed his name to Abraham later, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house. Now notice this. Unto a land I will show you. Didn't even tell him when.
Right.
What did he say? Go.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said go. Now you tell me, if God said to you all of a sudden, hey, quit that job. I'll show you a job sometime. Hey, do this. Move here. Go there. Talk to this person. Oh, we want everything laid out. We want everything there, right? But see, the blessing is found in the doing.
Yeah.
So God says to Abraham, just get up and go. I'll show you where to go.
That's right.
Let's see what happened. And look at verse 2 said. See, this is the great thing. When you get afraid about tithing, when you get afraid about actually forgiving, when you get afraid of actually laying those things down and selling out to God, and when a word comes to you, like for me, hey, go to Oklahoma, and that was so scary to me, God's not up in heaven fretting about what he said to me, because he knows that if he can get me to do it, the next part of what's coming is going to come to pass in my life. See, we look at verse 1 and we think, man, God, you are not very compassionate to your servant. To just tell him to get up and go. See, God wasn't fretting about verse 1 because he knew there was a verse 2 and a verse 3.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
But he couldn't get Abraham to verse 2 and verse 3 until he did verse 1. But verse 2 says, and Abraham, if you'll do what I say, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I will bless them that curse you, or bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. So what does God, what did Jesus say? The blessing's when you do the word, not just hear it. So here you are on your path financially. Here you are in your path with forgiveness. Here you are in your path. You know, you could be here Wednesday nights, but you're not. You don't want to hear the word of God. But God says, plant yourself in the local church. Here you are, you know, once every 4 or 5 weeks, roller coaster ride. Yet Jesus said, if you don't have a pastor, you're scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, like sheep without a shepherd. Yet it's not a big deal whether you hear from your shepherd or not. You're on your path. You're doing your thing with your money. You're doing your thing with your love walk. You're doing your thing with your time. God's trying to talk to you. Okay, so then the word comes to you. The word comes to you. And it might be hard. God says, stop doing what you're doing with your money. Start giving a tithe and an offering. Yeah. And that's hard on you. Because you're like, whoa, man, I know what that looks like in my finances. Your choice.
That's right.
God says, forgive that person. It's hindering. I remember one gentleman, he had been in healing lines. His shoulder was bothering him. He had an injury from when he was younger. He had been in healing line after healing line with anointed people who have healing, tangible anointings in their life, who other people in the line would get instantly healed, and he went for years, didn't get it. Finally, he was driving down the road one day and got frustrated, threw his hands up in the air like I did, and said, Lord, I believe in healing. I know healing is true. I know healing is real. Why am I going year after year, my shoulder's getting worse and worse? And you know what the Lord said to him? You haven't forgiven your dad. You didn't forgive your dad. Well, there you go. His dad had wronged him very bad as a child. You haven't forgiven your dad. Now he has a choice. Get prideful and take what the devil would say. Oh, you don't want to forgive him. Don't forgive him. You know what he did to you. You don't want to forgive him. You can stay there if you want to and keep your faith absolutely not running and not working and staying below what God has for you. Or you can just trust God that, Lord, you're trying to lead me into something better. Well, he let it go. He said instantly, every bit of symptom in his body. He said, Father, I forgive my dad. I will not hold that anymore. I will not hold a grudge. When thoughts come to me, I'll answer them with, I forgave him. No, that's not my thought anymore. He said instantly, all the pain in his shoulder went away.
Praise God.
Obeyed God. God wasn't trying to hurt him or make him feel bad about what was going through and, you know, not say, you're not justified. God wasn't saying that. He was just saying, listen, this is how things work. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you have a choice. You have a choice, you know. He said, I'll make you great. So look at verse 4. So, Abram departed. Praise God. As the Lord had spoken unto him. Well, how in the world do you think that Abraham, in another place we see in Genesis 22, God told Abraham, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, the one that he waited 25 years for, had him when he was 100, Sarah was 90. He said, take him up on the mountain and murder him. That's what God told him. Take him up and kill him. Offer him for a burnt offering. How can a man pick up and just go, not even know where he's going? He just says, okay, I'll start walking east. Father, if you say go west, I'll turn.
Right.
Not even know where to go. How can a man, when God says, take your child up on the mountain, offer him there for a burnt offering, how can a man say, okay, let's go, pack up, Isaac, we're going. And he did.
Yeah.
How can he do something like that? And we see that through that, if you look at the result, actually, let's look there real quick. Genesis 22, I want to show you this. I'm not going to read the whole story for time's sake. But Genesis 22 in verse 15, this is now Abraham where he's at the place. He had the knife raised, ready to come down on his son, and the angel came and said, oh, stop. There's a ram over in the thicket. Use that. God's intention never was to kill his son. See, the devil gave me all sorts of thoughts about going to Ramah. Oh, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. It's going to be bad. This is going to be the worst thing ever. God's intention never was to hurt me. God's intention never was to take from me. When he says tithe, when he says forgive, when he says be faithful in church, his intention's never to hurt you. It's always to bless you. His intention never was to kill Isaac. My goodness. In verse 15, it says, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because you have done this thing, what thing? Have not withheld your only son. He said, because you obeyed my voice, Abraham, that in blessing, look at, what's after the obedience? What's after the trust? The blessing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and then the blessing comes. He said, I'll direct your paths. I'll put you on the prearranged, made ready for you good life to live in path. Blessing, I'll bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And I'll notice this. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. He said, not only is the blessing going to run down through you, but your children. Your children are going to overcome because of your obedience.
Praise God.
Yeah. Don't even get me started on that. Praise God. People are so prideful. Stop. Just give it up. Give up the pride of the disobedience and just give it up and be obedient to Jesus. I'll tell you what, I had to do that. I'm still working on that, my salvation, walking these things out. Nobody's perfect, but man, I'll tell you what, we better be going forward.
That's right.
He said, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. In your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Why did he obey the voice of God that said, go? Why did he obey the voice of God that said, take him up on a mountain? Because he trusted God. He knew, you're not going to send me out to the wolves. You're not going to send me out. When you speak to me, you're not trying to make me poor. You're not trying to confuse me and make life hard for me. When you tell me to kill my son, you can't be really telling me to kill my son because you said, in Isaac, all nations of the earth will be blessed. As the sand on the seashore will be multiplied, all the families and the people that will come through him. He said, so Abraham's thinking, okay, one of two things has to happen as I'm going up on this mountain. Either number one, you're going to stop me from killing him before I kill him. Or number two, I'm going to kill him and you're going to have to raise him back to life. I trust you enough, Father. I don't understand this all the time. I don't get it. It seems hard in the natural, but I trust you enough to obey you. And look at the blessing it led to.
Yeah. Praise God.
We start calculating things, and we go through the mental equations, and we start doing this and that, weighing things. And if we would just follow the voice of God,
But
you never will follow the voice of God if you don't trust him. I remember when I started this church, with a new baby arriving. And the Lord told me to quit my job and pastor full time, which put us $1,200 short every month of bills coming in and $2,000 short when it came to groceries, miscellaneous things for Caleb, and anything that would come up with the vehicles or anything else. It was about $2,000. Sometimes it was more than $2,000, but we averaged it out. It was about $2,000 short every month. And the Lord told me, don't you dare get a third shift job. You're going to stay home with your son while she works. You're going to stay home with your son. When she gets home from work, you're going to pastor the church. Well, how can somebody with a new baby quit a job, a full-time job, to take a full-time job, more than a full-time job pastoring? And now it's even more with two churches, and I love it. I'm thankful for it, not complaining. But a full-time job that you don't even get paid anything. How can somebody do that and walk out? Because I trusted him. I trusted him. How can I look at the tithing thing and say, absolutely, I can't wait to tithe? Because I trust him.
That's right. Amen.
I trust him. How can I look at it and say, he says, my words are power, yet when I speak my words in my head, it says that really didn't do much. How can I continue to keep speaking and put my faith? I trust him.
Amen.
I trust him, ladies and gentlemen.
Praise God.
And we'll close with this. Go to Job 22 and verse 21. Until you trust him, you won't obey him until you trust him. Why does my daughter, after service, come running into me and jump in my arms, yet a child that's never been here before, I could say, come here, and they'll shy away. They don't know me. They don't trust me.
Yeah, sure.
My daughter knows she can run to loving arms. Praise God.
Amen.
Trust me. Job 22 and verse 21. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never walk into the good life, the prearranged, the best abundant life that God has for you until you trust him. Because you won't obey what he says to do when it looks hard if you don't trust him. Because the things God will say to you sometimes, we've seen in Abraham twice, can scare the living you know what out of you. But yet God's not trying to make it harder for you, he's trying to make it better for you.
Amen.
Amen. Job 22 and verse 21 says, acquaint. You know what that word means? Become familiar with.
Right.
Acquaint now yourself with him. Become familiar with him. Understand how he does things. Get to know him. How do I get to know him? This is him.
That's right.
This is everything of who he is, what he thinks, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what he says you can have, what he says to stay away from, who he is, characteristics. This is God. The Bible says the Word is God.
Amen.
Spend time finding out. Oh my goodness, you're Jehovah Jireh. You're the provider. Get that in your heart. And when finances come and tests come financially, you won't fret because you're acquainted with Him.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Dad, you're Jehovah Rapha.
Yeah.
You're the healer. So if you're the healer and you live in me, when sickness comes, I don't have to fret and get worried. I trust you. Praise God.
Amen.
It's called being acquainted with Him.
That's right.
Why will some people do anything He says to do and other people won't? They just don't trust Him. They just don't trust Him. So anyways, I was telling you about the lifting of the hands the one time. And the Spirit of God told me, this was years ago, that this is that person's problem. They won't do the word in this area. I said, man, Lord, it must be important to you then. And they were struggling. And I said, you want to know what your problem is? I said, the word says to lift your voice and to lift your hands. And you've heard it over and over again. But you stand there almost in a prideful way saying, I'm never going to do that. And it came to pass because the gentleman looked at me and said, Pastor, I don't care what the word of God says. I will never lift my hands in a church service. I said, okay, meeting's done. Nothing more I can do for you. That's what I did. I said, let's shut this down. See you later. What more can you do for someone that says, I'm not going to do the word?
Right?
But they just don't trust God. He's more concerned with how he feels and his background and his personality. God's not interested in your personality. He's interested in you and conforming to his ways. Church service isn't about your comfort level. If you're coming here to be comfortable and for the church to do something for you, you should be coming to bring something to God. I'm coming to church to worship God, to hear His word, to be better, to be a better service to Him. That's the right attitude. Acquaint now yourself with Him. Become familiar with Him. And what's the result? Be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. When you get to know God, and you get to know God, what's going to happen? You're going to trust God. You're going to do what God says because you know He's never failed anybody. He's never steered anybody wrong. He's the faithful God from back then to now and forever. And so when you see in the Word, tithe, forgive, go to church, be faithful, raise your kids this way. You know, the world's chirping at you and the news is chirping at you of how to raise your kids, but the Bible says stick with the Word, stick with the Spirit. Don't give in to the natural, the way the world is. And you'll see that and you say, okay, I trust you, Lord, I trust you. You're not trying to make my kids' lives miserable or hard. You're trying to get my kids to have the most blessed life ever.
That's right. Amen.
Any area at all. If you're not acquainted with Him, when He speaks to you to change something, to get you on that path, if you don't trust Him, you won't do it. You won't do it. People do it all the time. Just keep living their own way. Well, let's do it His way.
Amen.
The blessed life, prearranged and made ready. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We bless you this morning. Can we just worship Him? Let's thank Him. We love you, Jesus. We do honor you. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We are so thankful for all that you've provided, for all that you've given to us. We are thankful. You are a merciful, merciful God. We bless your holy name. If there's anybody in here right now, you want hands laid on you, you have something going on in your body, the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If there's anybody facing any symptoms in their body, come forward and just line up right in front here. Just come stand shoulder to shoulder right in front here. Praise God. We're going to lay hands on you. Praise the Lord. Now when, you stand right there, praise God. Come right shoulder to shoulder with each other. It's important that you know, when I lay hands on you, ladies, the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When we release our faith to pray for your healing, the power of God by His word has gone into your body. Now, whether or not it's an instant manifestation or not doesn't matter. The power went in. The Bible says by faith we please Him. And so sometimes you don't get an instant manifestation. Sometimes you do. So if you walk back to your seat, the same symptoms are still there, doesn't matter. You received it. The Bible says in Mark 11:24 that to receive from God, we have to believe it when we pray it. So when I lay hands on you and command that healing power of God, which He says we can do, into your body, it's your job to believe it, that it's working for you. Regardless if the symptoms get worse or get better, you just go back and say, Father, I thank you. Healing is mine. Healing is mine. The healing power of God's working in me, okay? That's how we receive by faith. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, I command all sickness and all disease to leave her body now in Jesus' name. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, I command all symptoms, all sickness, all disease to leave her body now from head to toe. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you said this in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy, So we see in the Word that the enemy can oppress through sickness. But we also see in Luke chapter 10 that the Bible says we have authority over all the power of the enemy. So one thing we have authority over is the power of the devil to give you sickness. So in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command every bit of sickness, every bit of disease to come out of her body. We say all the crooked things made straight, everything restored to better than it ever was before. And we thank you for it. Now let's just all praise Him and thank Him for healing. You can be seated when you want to. Thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We magnify you. Jesus, we thank you for the healing power of God. Thank you, sir. We thank you for the healing power of God. So if you had hands laid on you, you continue. You wake up in the morning and say, I thank you, I received my healing. On September, whatever day it is, at whatever time it is, when Pastor Mike laid hands on me, the power of God went into my body, and it's working for a cure, praise God. I thank you, I'm healed and whole from head to toe. That's what faith does. Faith looks through the natural. Faith looks through the symptoms. Faith looks through what you can feel and sees what the Word of God says, which the Bible says you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. So, Father, we bless you this morning. Before we close, if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, no looking around. Everybody in here that's listening by live stream on the internet right now or by an archive in the future, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If the answer isn't, oh, absolutely, I'd go to heaven, well, you don't need to go another day without wondering what would happen to your life when this life is over. Because the Bible says if you receive Jesus, what does that mean? Accept Him in your heart. If you believe He died and rose again, the Bible says if you ask Him into your heart, He said, I'll come in. In fact, He's knocking. He wants to come in. He's saying, let me in, let me in. Well, the way you do that is not by going to church. The way that you do that is not by being a good person or, you know, you haven't done enough bad things to keep Him out. The way you do that is by receiving Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, we won't embarrass you or have you come forward or have you say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus for the first time in your life, would you just raise your hand? If you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. Just put your hand high in the air, and I'll acknowledge that you raised it. We'll have you put it right back down. Is there anybody in this service that's never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Anybody at all? Father, I do not see a hand here this morning, so I trust in the sanctuary, everybody's walking in the fullness of you, Father God. And Lord, I just thank you that if anyone under the sound of my voice by live stream or an archive, I pray that if they have not received Jesus, they would not pass from this life till they've made Him the Lord of their life. And Father, I thank you. You've made it simple. It's just about crying out to you, just saying, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. If you'll do that and mean it, He'll come in, take up residency, and He'll never leave you. And then you need to get hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church where they're preaching the Word so you can learn what God has for you and begin to apply faith and walk in the fullness of everything that He has. Father, we do love you this morning. Let's thank Him one last time for what we've received. Priceless, priceless stuff this morning that will save our lives, that will get us into better if we'll trust Him. If we'll trust Him. You see, if you trust Him, you'll go to Him with an open heart to say, Lord, is there any adjustments or corrections that need to be made? Anything, Lord? You won't mind because you trust Him. You trust Him. So, Lord, we trust you this morning. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, Sunday through Tuesday, 7 o'clock at the Fredonia Church. Pastor Scott Webb's in. Wednesday night, we'll be back here at 6:30. You are dismissed.